What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello, welcome. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. I'm Shireen.
Hi, Shireen. How are you? I'm Anna.
When will I get good at that? Never. Today we have a really good episode with a really wonderful guest. Anna, do you want to just take it away?
Yes, we are joined by I've already forgotten the title because it was so long, because that's how important they are. They are the director of marketing and creative development at iHeart. They're doing great work with a new slate of shows under the Outspoken banner, which we'll tell you guys what it's all about. We are joined by Jay Brunson,
woo,
who has an incredibly sneaky, clean Instagram. All right, stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Okay. Hey, Anna.
Hi, Shireen.
How are you today?
Good. I have allergies for like 2 seconds.
Well, something crazy happened in my backyard that I'm going to be thinking about for a while, but a coyote ran into the backyard, and then my neighbor's cat chased the coyote into the yard, and for a while I was scared because they were having this face-off, and the cat was like all arched, like how they do when they're like scared of something, you know, like the Halloween cat pose. And so they were just like standing still, looking at each other with a cat in that pose. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, what's about to happen?
Okay.
And then the cat chased the coyote out of the backyard. Mm. Anyway, I'm going to be thinking about that for the rest of my life.
I do love that.
But that's what happened to me just now. Yeah.
I do love a fucking vicious cat who will protect their territory at all costs.
It was wild. The coyote's like 3 times its size at least, you know? That was crazy.
Well, if it's a baby coyote, it doesn't know what it's doing.
Maybe that's why. I don't know. It looked like a fucking dog-sized coyote. How are they supposed to look like? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, that's what I have to share today. Should we just bring our guest in?
So yes.
I don't have to... Okay, great.
Yes, let's bring our guest in. This guest... Hold on. Let me actually look up their exact title because I want to make sure I say it correctly. I want to make sure I pronounce their title.
Well, I pulled up his LinkedIn. Can I?
LinkedIn? You know LinkedIn's the devil.
Hey, Director, Creative Development and Marketing at iHeartMedia.
And we know that for a fact?
We can fact check as soon as he joins in.
I have Director of Marketing and Creative Development.
That sounds like the same thing.
I don't know.
It's the same thing.
We'll find out. Okay, we are joined by someone who works at iHeart, someone who has helped with the Next Up, what is it called? The program. Yikes. And someone who I recently met in person for the first time in Vegas and who is now spearheading iHeart's outspoken slate of shows. So we are joined by Jay Brunson.
Woo!
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Why is there a discrepancy between your bio and your LinkedIn?
Oh my God.
They're both right. They're both right.
Okay, good. Yes. You keep your LinkedIn up to date.
I try to. I think I'm remarketing myself, but officially director of marketing and creative development.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the only other question I have from your LinkedIn is, how do you know German?
Yeah, how do you know German?
I studied German in university. I'm very bad at it now, but
dude, same.
I'm pretty good at forming sentences.
That's all that matters. That counts.
Well, it's actually interesting because the German sort of grammar structure is kind of unforgettable because they put their like verbs at the end. Like, why?
Yeah. It took so long to learn it that you can't forget it.
Wow. I took intensive in college and then I continued taking German. And then, not a lot left. But I can read it still because of that, how they like it takes so long to like force that sort of structure in your mind. Hard to leave behind.
No, yeah, I took intensive too. I had a good 4 or 5 hours of German a week.
Wow.
Oh, so I did it. I did like a summer school course. Yeah, it was like 3 hours every day, Monday through Friday for the entire summer. Wow. And it was like German 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And then I just continued taking more classes after that with some very intense German TAs. Oh my God, they're intense.
I would imagine German TAs would be intense. Also, just
German academics?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Just a disclaimer, because I'm sure it's going to happen at some point in the recording. My cat will be meowing. And so if you hear a meow, just go with it. It'll add some texture to your podcast. Who cares?
That's fine.
She's cute. That's all that matters. Great. Well, okay. So we know that you work at iHeart, but I don't care about that right now. I want to go back in time into your early part of life. Tell us where you were born and where you grew up.
I am a native New Yorker.
Wow.
So I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I'm fourth generation New Yorker on both sides.
Wow. That's cool.
And I have lived in New York for my entire life. Went to school here, studied German here at Hunter College.
Wow.
Which I love that I'm truly a New Yorker, went to a New York university.
Mm. Yeah. That's incredible that you stayed. And wait, so before the four generations, where did they come from?
All over. Some from Italy. I'm mixed. I'm also ethnically ambiguous.
Okay, go on.
I'm black. I'm white. There's some Polish in there. Southern black United States. Yeah.
So everyone just was like, let's just go to New York and stay there.
Well, we'll just stay there for a while. And they're all still here.
Wow.
Actually. Yeah.
That's so cool that the love of New York is so deep that like you can spend your entire life there, generation after generation. And even like you went to school there and you're still there. I think that's so, so cool. Was there ever a point where you were like, I should get out of here, and then you changed your mind? Or was it always just like, this is where I belong?
I tried to get out for college. I quickly realized that was not going to work for me. I needed to come back, but I'm currently in my I have to get out of New York era. So,
oh yeah.
I'm not currently living in New York, but come back every so often for work.
Nice. I mean, it's about time.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame you, you know, like change is good.
Yeah.
Something that is nice about working in podcasting and iHeartMedia and stuff is that like you can kind of do it from anywhere as long as you make the time and adjust for time zones and all that stuff, you know? So that's cool.
Yeah, and I don't actually have to produce shows, which is fun. So I'm not tied to any recordings or anything like that. So I'm strictly behind the scenes. So it makes it a lot easier.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't really understand what that means. I'm so tied to every single talent. It's annoying after a while. You're like, oh, I guess my life revolves around you. Should I? I'm going to leave that in.
No, we keep it in.
You gotta keep
I feel
it
like
in.
Your life is extra hard only because, like, you know so much of the talent personally, and so everyone goes to you if they want that talent for something else. And so you just become this, like, unintentional middle person just because you're, like, well, like, you're social and connected. So, I don't know. It's a curse.
Social against my will, I would argue.
Are you dealing with agents, Anna?
Oh, all day.
Like, is that your all-day work?
All I do is talk to agents, managers, publicists, being like, well, when can't we get this person on Las Culturistas? And I'm like, well, they don't really like guests. You're like, it's just, it is what it is. It's their podcast. They can do it however they want, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're just sort of like fighting. You're also fighting like authors who are dying to be on Daily Zeitgeist. And you're like, they didn't read the book. They're not going to be able to talk to you about the book. And so that's kind of my day to day. And then also, you know, actually producing the podcast, which is at this point, like, you know, second, it's very much like autopilot. The thing that drives me actually crazy is trying to get ads in. That's like the hardest part of my job, is like wrangling people to get ads, and then like pray to God you're not tagged in Airtable. And if anyone knows what Airtable is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to even say the words Airtable on this podcast.
We shouldn't ever talk about Airtable. Don't give it enough. Don't give it any kind of airtime.
Airtime?
Sorry for that pun.
You don't want to give Airtable airtime?
I know. Okay, did you guys hear about, this is the last thing I'll say about the word air, but I think it was Kylie named her son or something air, and air means penis in Arabic. Like, that's just like what the word
is. I did see that. It's spelled A-I-R-E, right?
Yeah, but it's, I mean, air is air. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Who is the baby with? I forget who they're with, each of them.
I don't know.
Travis Scott.
Oh, she's with the venue that collapsed guy.
Astroworld guy. Yeah.
Astroworld. Yeah. Thank you. And that's why we have Jay here, because I remember nothing. Okay, so you were born and raised in New York. Ooh, what part of New York? Tell me everything. Where'd you go to high school?
I'm from South Brooklyn. So not the cool part. I'm from like Bensonhurst.
Okay, I know
it. Or Sheepshead Bay. Mm-hmm. So typically like ethnic enclaves in Brooklyn. I just went to school there, went to a small high school, and it's pretty chill. It's not your typical Brooklyn experience.
How so?
Very quiet. Oh. It's very quiet. It's kind of like not the suburbs, but it's definitely not giving Williamsburg or Bushwick or anything like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. What if we just like uninterest ourselves and we're like, oh, okay. It's not giving Williamsburg, then wrap this podcast up. Just joking. I would argue that's a nicer place to grow up than Williamsburg. I feel like to grow up in such a like trendy neighborhood or whatever, even just like a trendy like street, it would kill me.
Yeah.
It's just not a very, it's not a cool place to be.
No.
But I like it.
Yeah, it's nice to like hang out in, but like, I don't know if I could be there 24/7. I also guess I don't like cool people. And I know I realize when I say that sounds absolutely absurd, but there was a point.
I know what you mean, though.
Yeah, well, there was a point when I was living in Silver Lake and I was like, I swear to fucking God, if I see another like young girl with like green hair, I can't do it anymore. It's like you just like you're watching the gentrification like suck you in while you're also like part of the gentrification. You know, you were like, I gentrified first. Who are all these people? And then you're like, you're getting like sucked down into like the coolness and you're like, I can't live like this anymore. And that's why I live in the valley now. Nobody's cool here. Sorry, what were you saying? I interrupted you to scream, nobody's cool here.
No. I you just, like, you like all of the things from gentrification. The nice coffees, the nice stores. But then, yeah, you start to hate the people who are doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have this vendetta against places that are cashless. Like, there was an El Pollo Loco in my neighborhood that turned into a Sweetgreen. And Sweetgreen is only takes card. And I just think that whole structure is so elitist. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I just hate that. I hate it so much. And I think the more places that go in that direction, the worse every neighborhood is going to be. That's my theory. Like, the minute you get a place that goes cashless, you're like, oh, this is the beginning of the end. That's how I see it. But It's just elitist and stupid. I don't like it. I don't like it. Nope.
I know. Mm-hmm. To think that we like were in a global pandemic and they like took advantage of that, be like, we simply can't touch cash. Ew. Right. And it's like, well, you understand that banking systems are not for everybody. They don't work for everyone.
Yeah.
And also like racism. And
yeah. Then, like no one, not everyone has a fucking card. Like
that's why, here's the thing. Boycott fancy salad places. Because Tender Greens is like that as well.
Tender Greens overrated. Sweet Green overrated. They're all fucking overrated. Anyway, fuck that. Okay, Jay. Yes. When you were growing up, what were you interested in?
I was interested in television growing up. That was my thing. I'm an only child. I had friends, but I didn't have a lot of friends. And I was only raised by my mom. And so TV really filled the void for a lot of the holes in my life. So that was my number one. So like watching The Cosby Show, Roseanne, like the old Roseanne really raised me.
Wow. Oh, dude, same.
That was really true to my life. We weren't like as poor as the family, the Connors, but like it was pretty similar. So I just felt really comfortable tuning in and watching that type of family sitcom.
Was your neighborhood like pretty diverse? Like, did you feel like you fit in and you blended in, or did you feel kind of out of place?
My neighborhood was really diverse. I mean, historically, it was very Italian American. And by the time I was growing up, it was increasingly more Chinese. So there was that culture clash from the Italian Americans who didn't like the Chinese immigrants. But for me, I always felt kind of in the middle, so it didn't really matter to me. And I also never felt like totally a part of that community. Just being young, gay, in the closet, it wasn't really something that was affecting me day to day. But all of the people in my family, in my immediate family, which I was raised by on my mom's side, were white or white passing. So I often felt like the odd one out. I was never made to feel that way, but you know, you just pick up on social cues and so that was really big for me. So again, that's kind of one of the reasons why I kind of escaped into pop culture and TV, and that's just where I felt comfortable and safe. And even to this day, like if I put on one of those shows or indulge in some of that TV from that I enjoyed when I was younger, I just feel like I'm at home.
Oh, that's nice.
Pop culture is powerful like that.
Yeah, I would watch Cosby Show and Roseanne and all those. And I feel that a little tough to watch Cosby Show these days, though. But yeah. I mean, like, that's like how my dad learned English is The Cosby Show. So it's like a very, it hits home. A little too home for him, I would say, a little still. You know, we have to be like, you need to accept the facts. But I mean, I feel like so much of people our age, I don't actually know your age, Jay. I'm assuming you're my age. I assume.
You better not be younger than us.
I assume everyone's my age. Even if they look much younger than us, I'm like, they're clearly just my age.
Same.
I feel like we were all sort of just raised on TV for the most part. I feel like there was an era where like TV wasn't considered straight up the devil yet.
Yeah.
And parents would be like, I'm going to be home late. Just fucking take care of yourself, you know?
Right.
And you'd be like, okay. And then you would just like put on TV for hours and like take it in.
Yeah.
I probably watch way too much TV, but it was the golden age of TV. I was also raised by reality TV. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I guess that could place my age. Like I was definitely coming up during that era of all the shows that we.
Like Real World. And then into
Real
like
Real World, Road Rules, then the VH1, like
yes, Flavor of Love,
Reality Dynasty, yeah.
Oh my god,
damn! That was like the beginning of. No, I was gonna say the end. It's not sorry. That was just we had no idea the direction that was gonna go. It's so crazy when you think about that time. It's almost like too pure, you know. It was just like this experimental time in television where like nothing was really out of hand yet.
No,
it was just like fun.
But that's the thing is, like, when I watch, like, reunions, like, clips with that include, like, New York in them, and I'm like, how? This is why I'm crazy, because I was, like, raised by, like, New York. Like, this woman is so batshit, and I was like, she's the best. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, Now everything I watch low-key has to be like extreme. Or I'm like reality TV wise, because I'm like, well,
Surreal Life was my favorite.
Yeah.
Did y'all watch Surreal Life?
I did watch Surreal Life.
I actually did not watch reality TV that much, so I'm not going to pretend I did. But love that for both of you.
Oh, wow. Did your parents raise you or something?
No.
Because I would say I would get in trouble because my dad would be like, are you fucking watching this shit? And I'd be like, you're not here.
Yeah.
Like, do you understand? Like, this is what it is. Like, get used to it.
Flavor Flav is always here.
Yeah.
You want to have a career and show up at like 7 p.m. every day? Guess who's watching TV who gets out at 3 and has like 4 hours to like eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and watch trash?
Yeah.
And now look at me. I'm perfectly fine.
You're completely stable.
I'm totally fine.
No, my sister and I were raised pretty strict. And I feel like the most of the stuff we watched were like a little bit more kiddish. Like, I don't think we were allowed to watch certain channels. So we just kind of like, oh my God, thank you. My cat just gave me a stuffed rat that I'm going to have to throw so she can play fetch. I don't know what I was going to say, but what I do want to do is take a break.
Okay.
So let's take our first commercial break and we'll be right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
And we're back with Jay. All right, let's like get into your career. So you went to Hunter, you took German, and then you graduated college and you were like, look at me, baby, I'm a New Yorker. What did you do after that?
So I studied media at Hunter. Media with a specialty in digital design.
Oh, nice.
And then I was dating someone at the time who worked at kind of a major publication at that time. So this was like in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And they helped me get an internship in their video department. And I stayed with that company for a number of years and just kind of climbed the ranks and was working in video production. And that's where I also found podcasts.
Oh.
Yeah.
At this company, just in general, just like working with them, and they were like, we're podcasting.
Podcasting was still pretty new.
Yeah.
All of the producers that we had on staff were strictly video. They didn't really want to touch audio.
Oh, interesting.
And I was younger, so I was like, yeah, I'll touch that. It will also make me a little less susceptible to layoffs because we had layoffs every year, and I didn't want to be... let go, and I knew if you had one skill that no one else had, they'll keep you around. So
yeah, job security. Smart.
It was tactical, but also I liked the idea of forging into something that felt really new.
Mm-hmm. That is smart. They can't get rid of you if you're the only guy who knows how to, like, use a microphone.
Yes.
And that's why we're here today.
It's led me to such places.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you were dating someone. Can I ask, like, growing up, especially as an only child, like, how was it like to not even just come out, but, like, accept yourself as, like, a gay person? Like, was it, like, how did your family react?
My family took it fairly well. I came out when I was 18, halfway through my first semester in college. And I think I did it over text. Was not brave enough, I guess, to do it in person. But they received it really well. And because I was so into TV and pop culture, like, it wasn't hard to accept my sexuality for myself.
That's great.
I felt a lot of validation in the type of media that I was consuming. So that's kind of, I guess, it set me up for my career and, like, how I want to create and shape media so that it can also help validate other people's experiences.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, I mentioned this, but, like, media is so powerful to make someone feel that way. Like, that is such a crazy, valuable thing for a child or, like, someone that's growing up to feel that they're not, like, an outsider or, like, they belong somewhere. And it makes sense that you're doing what you do now with, like, the queer slate at iHeart. So I don't know. It's kind of nice to see, like, that you're being the person that you needed when you were a kid, like in real time. Does that make sense? I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah, it does. I never think about it like at that high level, but really that's kind of what it is, especially for, you know, if you're in the closet, you're not talking to anyone about it. Like, that's your only escape sometimes. And so that's why it's so important and powerful to me. That's why I still do it, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is important, especially there's, like, no representation in this world.
Yeah.
You literally have to make your own representation all the time.
It's a struggle.
It is a struggle. And that's why I think we should burn this country down. Just joking, kind of. But, okay, I am quite... Okay, so you get... you weren't with us at How Stuff Works, were you?
No.
Okay.
No, I was working at Refinery 29.
Okay, and then you came to iHeart.
Yeah.
I can't even remember when we got acquired. Maybe like 2019? I don't even know. When did you come to iHeart?
I came to iHeart in December of 2019.
So right before the pandemic.
Okay, so probably like right after we were acquired. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we went on tour.
I don't think it was 2019. It must have been earlier, like 2018 when we got acquired.
No, because we... Jack and I started the LA division in 2017.
Yeah, but that was How Stuff Works.
Yeah, so we were still How Stuff Works. I don't think we got acquired that quickly.
Maybe
we did. Maybe,
I mean, who cares? Time isn't real. I don't know what's happening.
Oh my God.
I already knew that you were Refinery 29 because I looked at your LinkedIn. But you were there for a minute. What was that experience like? Did you like working there?
I liked it sometimes and sometimes didn't. I really loved the mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was young. I was coming out of college. I felt inspired by a lot of the people at the company. And I'm still friends with a lot of folks that I met there because they really believed in the mission. And we just bonded over that. And we were kind of on the edge of the social video boom, which was really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, you always hear people talking about, like, all the benefits that you got being there, just kind of the stupid things, like the cold brew and the kombucha on tap and all those things that made you feel like, oh, you were at a company that was doing well. Mm-hmm. But then as you stayed there longer, slowly all of those things started to erode away and it wasn't shiny and fun anymore. But I made a lot of good connections there and there were a lot of smart people and specifically women. I don't want to erase women. Like, Refinery was and is a place for women and their stories. And there were some really just intelligent, cool people at the company.
Yeah. I mean, I figured you must have enjoyed it just because you were there for so long. And then you made the transition to iHeart. When you did that, were you kind of like trying to focus more on audio? Like, what was your motivation into going into like just changing it up?
So I was already working in audio for a little bit at Refinery and wanted to be able to have a space where I could carve a name out for myself. And podcasts felt similar to social video in that I saw this like roller coaster and like I could be going on it on the way up instead of being on the roller coaster on the way down. And so I just kind of started reaching out to folks, trying to see where I could fit in. And then also kind of transitioned from being a producer, I was producing video, into more of the development of concepts, creative direction. And I think that's easier to do when you have a younger industry, to kind of make that switch. So that's kind of what I was thinking about when I tried to get into audio.
That's true. When was this? What year was this? Oh, you said 2019?
Yeah, this was 2019. I've been working on podcasts since 2017.
Yeah.
And then didn't move to iHeart until 2019.
Right. God, it's crazy that 2019 was like a different era. It's like so surreal. You're like 2019. It feels like it was just last year, but it's like, no.
A different lifetime.
It like, was.
It's just no one knew about Zoom. You know, like it was, it's crazy.
No, because historically Zoom started the pandemic.
Right.
I think Zoom, yeah, this is all a marketing ploy for Zoom. I believe that.
Yeah, it does feel like such a different time where it was like, wow, podcasting at the forefront of the industry. And you're like,
right.
Now you're like, it's all right. It's all right. Let's sunset a bunch of shows. You're like,
eh, I honestly think that, I don't know, the pandemic was good for certain industries and bad for others. Like, I don't think it was bad for podcasting. I almost think like people wanted that connection even more, especially when they were like quarantined or stuck inside or like maybe they're living alone.
Yeah.
I think podcasting and like that medium, for whatever reason, hearing someone's voice is so intimate. And I think when people...
I would argue too intimate.
Well, no.
People really say shit to your face like they know you.
But that's the thing. Like they form these connections and it becomes like a regular part of their day. And I think it's really powerful. But I have a question. When you went to iHeart, you had this like, in, for what I understand, like a intention to carve out your own path. Did you join with the intention like in the back of your mind of creating something like the Outspoken Network? Or did it kind of just happen as you went?
No, I didn't join with Outspoken or anything like it in mind. I think my goal was strictly to like, how do I transform my own career? And I think after that would set me up for something like this.
Yeah.
But when the opportunity arose to work on something like this, I already had a bunch of ideas. I'm a very opinionated person. I think that's why I like to do what I do, and it's why I succeed in what I do, because you have...
That's interesting. You haven't really given me too many opinions to my face. We'll have to get into that. Let's talk off mic, and I want to hear some of your opinions. All right, sorry, continue.
Yeah, I hide a lot of them. But when I do want to talk about them, it's just something I do really well.
Yeah.
And I had had thoughts about what the network should look like, what it should sound like, who it should speak to. And I was able to communicate all of that to the execs and the people at iHeart who pull the strings. So being able to do that, and just with my track record at my other endeavors at iHeart, I was able to get that all greenlit and was able to start working on it last summer.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. And it just launched recently. When exactly did it launch officially?
So it launched March 8th, I believe.
Wow.
If I remember correctly.
I think they announced it at Podcast Movement?
Yeah, we did an announcement at Podcast Movement and did a panel there as well.
That's so cool.
On International Women's Day. Never forget. International Women's Day. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Sorry, go on.
He's like, yeah, I can't believe that.
Yeah, we had three incredible women on our panel.
Yeah.
One was a moderator, but
oh, yes,
still.
Yes. I can't remember anything. I was like, what was the panel? No, I know. That was the one where, like, Joelle and I were, like, crying in the back because we were like, our children! Because both Carmen and Dr. John Higgins of Next Up are on the panel and now involved with Outspoken, which is incredible.
They're both amazing. Carmen really blew me away with some of the stuff that she said because it was so poignant. And
dude, Carmen's a legend.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's so cool.
She came in like, no one, I can't do this. And I was like, have you met you? I remember when I was like, this is such a strange thing, but an anecdote, but I would like look at her Instagram stories and I'd be like, this is the most interesting person alive. Like her curation of, because you know, Instagram stories are so like, they're kind of like a toss up. It's like either someone's trying to be like, this is how I am, like creating a facade of like their life. And you're like, yeah, okay, bitch, I've seen you. I've met you. I know you're not this, you know, like together. And then, you know, there's people who are just like shit posting.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, okay, I'm more of the shit poster because I have no personality. And then, but then you have like really interesting people who are like, their whole story is just like a curation of all their emotions and feelings and interests. And you're like, holy shit. It's like, I am learning who you are as a person just from looking at your Instagram. And that's like who I see. Like Carmen like has such an interesting foray of posts that like, it's like I'm seeing inside her soul, like her emotions, her feelings, the things that like draw her in. And that's when I was kind of like, you're an it queen and I'm going to make you it. That was like my obsession with yeah. Carmen. I'm also like low-key sick in the head, but go ahead.
No, but I think Carmen's a good example of like when an amazing person is just like given an opportunity to like grow and like be supported.
Right.
It's just,
it's incredible.
That's what a company like this is for, in my opinion. Like, you know what I mean? Like if you can give someone the opportunity that they wouldn't have otherwise and expose people to that person that they wouldn't have even known existed otherwise, I think that is
yeah
so important. Yeah.
Yeah, and to give them someone to speak to that, I always think of like, we're in the process of hearing a lot of pitches for shows for the network.
Yeah.
And like to be able to speak to people who are, you know, on the same page as you or even the same book. Like sometimes I feel like I speak to people in this industry and I'm like, we're not even in the same book. Mm-hmm. Like this is so different. And I hope that they feel like really comfortable that they can speak to people like me, like Anna, like other folks at this company, because it's so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get lost really easily. Mm-hmm. And so just to know that someone can actually hear you and understand where you're coming from is super important.
Totally.
I think so. And that's why I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Even though I didn't really like know you before, like you doing that first round of Next Up. Because I didn't know anyone. It's interesting that Next Up like introduced me to like everyone at the network because we were all of a sudden like, I was bringing so many different people in to like have talks with the fellows that I was just all of a sudden like, I was like, oh my God, there's this like whole world of iHeart that like we don't really get to engage with because one, there's a pandemic, but also because we're all in such like separate offices and locations that like, it was a really cool thing to be like, oh, like you guys are all actually doing really cool, amazing shit. And it's nice to like actually interact with you.
Mm. Yeah.
I wish we had more sort of, I guess they try and do it with the all hands where they have like different people speak. But even that feels somewhat like disconnected because you're just like listening to someone and it's midday and you're like making a sandwich and you're like sort of like daydreaming about the beach. And is this just me? Just like not paying attention and just like very disconnected from like my soul. But I guess we should just do like a Next Up hang. This is where I just came back from. We should do like a Next Up sort of retreat is really what I'm saying, where we all go to like the Bahamas. I just want to go to a beach. I don't know. I need like clear waters. Miami? Is Miami nice? Have you guys been? Is this a tangent, but have you guys been to Miami? Jay, you seem like you've been to Miami and I'm not profiling, but I kind of am. Like, have you been?
I have been to Miami.
I knew it.
It's okay. It's not my vibe.
But specifically the waters. What are we looking at here?
The waters are blue.
Okay. Yeah.
The waters are blue.
they're
specifically.
I mean, it's part of the Caribbean, technically. The sea.
Oh, same waters. I've been to the Caribbean. Lovely.
You have been to the Caribbean?
Yeah, what remember when I went to the Caribbean? And it did not end well.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Do you remember
okay,
when my friend's unwell boyfriend like threatened to hold us hostage? Well, he did hold us hostage lost his mind because she threw his vape pen off the board. I was like, girl, why are you throwing his vape pen in the water?
Wasn't that one of the first episodes we had?
Yeah, it was fresh off because it was in 2017. It was right after Jack was like, do you want to come with me to How Stuff Works? And I was like, sure, but I am going to the Caribbean on a yacht trip for a week. And then it ended so dark. Because my friend's boyfriend was a maniac. And he kept screaming, I have presidents in my family. And we kept being like, nobody likes you. Because that was a great foreshadowing.
Was this Below Deck?
It was Below Deck. I wish. It was actually before I started watching Below Deck. I soon started watching it after that because I was like, there has to be better experiences than this. And
there weren't.
Yeah, exactly. You were wrong.
Honestly, it was incredible trip until that last night where he absolutely lost his mind. But then my friend did throw his vape pen off the board, and I guess if you're like an addict, you might need that to survive.
I don't know. I don't want to.
No. You definitely shouldn't hold a bunch of like people hostage on your boat over it. But what am I? I don't even know. I can't. Really, I don't know. I'm pretending like I could see his side. He was a monster. So yeah, I've been. So I guess I'm trying to go to Miami now.
Yeah.
God.
Let's take our second break. We can marinate on all of that and come right back and put us on a grill. I need to stop. Okay, let's go to the break now.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And we're back. Wow.
Wait, okay. I actually, let's get more into Outspoken. So can you sort of break down a little bit more like how Outspoken, I mean, say as much as you can, obviously. We're not trying to get you in trouble. I say it like I am trying to get you in trouble. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I'm not coming for your gig
What's
or anything.
Your MO here?
I'm actually secretly a monster. But I am curious, like, how it came, like, how did these discussions start? Like, did they come to you or were you? Because you kind of implied that you were in there being like, hey, betches, it's time to listen, which is also what I did with Next Up. Like, I was up in people's business. Like, I just think it's funny how, like, you guys, like, hate people of color. And then they were like, what? And then I was like, anyway, I have this sort of initiative. And I wish I was joking, but I'm not joking. Anyway, go ahead.
So the company already had the plan. So
okay.
iHeart has a number of networks that are like outspoken. We have My Cultura, we have the Black Effect Network. Both are specific podcast networks that are creating content for specific communities. So Black Effect creates podcasts for the Black US listeners. My Cultura is for US Latinx listeners.
Yes.
So they wanted to replicate that, the success that they had with those networks for the LGBTQ plus community. But that's kind of all they had. So I knew that, you know, when a company has this kind of mission, they want to speak to the community, they quickly follow the steps of a lot of other companies. They just kind of slap an overly saturated rainbow onto some things and then call it an initiative for the queer community. And so I just kind of said, that's not going to happen here while I have the ability to change things and influence. And I came up with a pitch for the network and worked with some of the development folks for a while, just kind of in the pre-pitch stage. And then once I had a clear idea of what it should be, I pitched that to Will. I pitched it to our CMO because she is part of the community. So it felt really...
Wait, who's our CMO? And also, what the heck does that stand for? Chief Marketing Officer?
Chief Marketing Officer, Gail Troberman.
Oh, yes. Okay, okay, okay. Yes, 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 yes. She came from Microsoft.
She did, yes. Yeah, so I pitched it to her. It got her buy-in. And then, yeah, once that was all approved, we got... I mentioned I've been working with Raquel Willis.
Yes.
Or I don't know if I mentioned that, but...
Well, I just know that.
Okay.
I know everything about you. Just joking. I think you guys mentioned it, or the panel mentioned it, potentially.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or somehow it came up. I don't remember exactly how.
So Outspoken is also being executive produced by Raquel Willis.
Incredible.
Who, for folks who don't know, she's an incredible activist, speaker, writer. She's working on her memoir, which is so exciting, but also so scary to see someone in the depths of writing that. It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been just been working on what we want the network to look like, what types of voices we're going to prop up and platform, what's the type of content that we're looking to put a lot of effort behind. We don't want to just simply create pop culture chat shows, which even though I love pop culture and those do really well, we're also like looking to diversify the type of content that's available for the community and made by the community. So again, it just goes back to like where people who understand where a lot of these creators are coming from. And so we're asking them to pitch really ambitious ideas because we have the ability to greenlight them. We know that they'll be able to take really interesting concepts, whether they're scripted, whether they're a true crime, like queer true crime story. Like we want to be able to get those made too. So yeah, we've just been working a lot on how do we make the most diverse type of network as possible.
Yeah. I think you make a really good point about like not just sticking like a rainbow sticker on something and being like, oh, representation, look at us, because but the majority of companies do that, you know? They think they're doing a good job by like almost like pinkwashing themselves in a way, you know what I mean? But but I love that iHeart and they trust you to make something that you know would work because you've been there. You've been a consumer of content like that, and so you know what works and what someone is searching for. Because yeah, like pop culture is great and you can have like a mix of that, but like also having something that is deeper and can actually like inform and stuff, I think it's so important to have just all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to make a difference. I mean, that's the thing, is like just to have someone be like, okay, this speaks to me.
Yeah. It's as simple as like feeling seen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the research, we definitely have research behind like why this was the time to build this type of network. Like LGBTQ listeners make up a lot of podcast listening, but they don't necessarily see it as an inclusive space.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of, it kind of tracks with some of the other research around other marginalized communities that are in listening to podcasts. So if they're not feeling like they're included in the narratives, in the development, in the just thinking behind these podcasts, like we have to go out there and do all of that legwork to get those types of stories made so that they do see themselves included in the podcasting space. That's really what our mission for Outspoken is to kind of turn around that stat.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember the Queer Tea podcast. Were you guys aware of that one?
Yeah.
I helped produce and I edited that show, and it was really trying, but I think it came up to that hurdle where it was like, I don't know, it was kind of too censored. Like, we weren't allowed to say certain things, and like certain stories had to not be talked about, or like no one was allowed to curse. Mm. So I feel like the intention was there, but the execution, and then obviously it didn't work out. It was canceled. But I think of that sometimes as like, I don't know, an example of what not to do when it comes to trying to make something truly inclusive, because I think,
yeah.
I don't know. Just, I think about it all the time, being like, that intention was so good, but for whatever reason, it did not pan out the way that they wanted it to. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like not censoring these creators. I also feel like there's a little bit of a double standard. Like, you have a lot of popular shows that talk about sex and relationships, but if it's heterosexual relationships and sex, then it's cool for sponsors. But
exactly,
if it's,
yeah,
gay or lesbian or transgender lives and sex, like, that's not okay. That's not like brand safe. But it's like LGBTQ people buy like detergent too. Like, why yeah. are you not afraid to like advertise on this show just because they mention gay sex?
Exactly.
So that's always weird for me. But we do want to make sure that we're not telling these creators what they can and can't say. Like, that's definitely not something we're going to be practicing.
Yeah. I wasn't implying that you were. I was saying, no. You guys are doing something different.
Wow. I don't believe she said that you were doing that?
I cannot. No.
No, but you brought up a good point, because yeah. I do notice that double standard.
Yeah. I mean, we also came up to that hurdle of, like, we needed like diverse guests, and the majority of the people that they suggested weren't exactly like the most diverse. So it's like, you can't just have like cis white gay men as guests over and over on your show. Like, it's the queer community is so much more expansive than that. But I just feel like they come up to that hurdle where it's like, it's inclusive to a degree. And so I think with Outspoken, you can already tell it's more inclusive, like having people like Carmen on and all that. It's just like, it's nice to have those voices elevated to remind people who exactly the queer community is. It's like more than what they assume it is. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know.
No, yeah. I mean, going back to my background, having worked in production and I've worked in branded production, so working with brands to create content for their brands and the publications I worked for, casting is always a really important piece. And I've learned that my superpower is that I think of people differently than other folks in this industry. You know, often I would get a casting brief and it's all of the same type of people, whether that's race, body diversity, age, like, being able to think outside of the boxes is really important, and it's what we're trying to do with Outspoken. So, like, who are the types of voices that we can elevate that aren't typically in this space? So it is Black and Brown people. It's femme and women voices. Like, we really want to make sure that those are the people that are getting chances that they wouldn't have been able to before, because, you know, white cis gay men are already in the space. They're already doing really well, and they have been. They don't necessarily need that hand up, but other folks in the community do. And so we're definitely hearing from them and making outreach to them to see what they want to do in the space.
I love that. That is so important and so good. And I'm so glad you're doing that important work. And it just feels like you genuinely want to do it, which is so important as well. You know what I mean? Like, we need someone to make change that is invested and wants to make change, you know? So I'm glad that you are doing all of that.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited.
Hell yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find Outspoken? How can they follow all the shows? How can they keep up with what's going on?
So we're still in the growing stage, but if you go on the iHeartRadio app, you can find the Outspoken tab under podcasts. And within that tab, you'll see all of the shows that we have. But also if you're looking on other podcast platforms, just look for the Outspoken logo. It's this little square logo that you'll find on some of the shows. And we'll be growing quickly, so hopefully we'll have some more social media presence, maybe a website, but it's all up in the air for now.
Yeah. I mean, you guys just launched, so this is really like the beginning of something pretty cool. So
yeah.
So everyone go keep up. And are there any handles that should follow for you or anything else?
Personal? Sure.
It's up to you. You don't have to.
Just jbrunson.us on all the channels.
Jay is cool. Go follow him. Keep up with his really important work. And we're just so excited to see how Outspoken like continues to grow. This is really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so happy that y'all had me on the show. I love talking about Outspoken and the folks that we're working with.
Hell yeah. As you guys grow, you guys have to come back then and just talk more about the different shows you have and all the different stuff. I think that would be, that's the what you were saying earlier, like giving light and like lifting the voices that need to be lifted is what this show is all about too. So yeah.
Yeah.
So you can almost argue like our show is just like Outspoken.
That's
just
not joking. What I was.
I'm just joking. Whatever.
Whatever.
It's fine.
But that's the show. Should I wrap us out of here?
Yeah, wrap us out. But I do also want to say Jay's Instagram is really fancy.
Yeah, I saw.
How so?
It's a fancy little Instagram.
It is steamy. It's steamy.
Steamy.
You got a little fancy ass little Instagram, and don't you try and deny it.
It's not even fancy. I think it's like, I mean, it's hot. Jay, you have a hot Instagram.
It's a hot little fancy Instagram where I'm like, damn, these are clean lines. These are clean aesthetics. My Instagram's like, nah! And your Instagram's like, hey. That's the energy.
No, I love it.
I strive for messy but pretty.
Interesting. It's like, I'm secretly messy.
Yeah.
Which is, at the same time, cute.
I think your Instagram says you have a secret. You know what I mean? Ooh. Like, you have a sneaky little secret.
There we go.
You know what I mean? But anyway, I think it's
sneaky
great.
Little secret. Your Instagram aesthetic is sneaky little secret.
Hey, like it kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense when you go to it. Because I did not know like your background or anything like that. So when I was looking you up, like I had your LinkedIn on one tab and your Instagram on the other, and I'm like, what a diverse person.
You were doing
person.
Like a juxtaposition. You're like, yeah. Interesting.
This person has layers. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
I imagine you with like a giant touchscreen, like, mm-hmm. Yes, I see.
Like Minority Report.
Expand, yeah.
It's not linking up.
No.
Well, that's not true, because if you have an Instagram and you keep it updated, that means you're a very together person.
Yeah.
And then I can see that in... actually literally the juxtaposition of your Instagram, which feels, while it does feel like you have a little secret, it does also feel like you have your shit together.
Oh,
there's
it's a good
energy
secret.
There. Yeah, yeah, it's a good secret. Like, okay, this person knows who they are.
And it's like a sneaky little hot secret. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, and
know.
You can be threatened by that, okay? I almost recommend you should be threatened by it because we're creeping.
Yeah, it's weird. It's hard to feel like you need to keep your personal channels a certain way for like work and other things. But
do you feel that way?
I do, but I clearly don't, because
I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I think it's okay to be hot.
I think so too.
I think you should be as hot as you fucking want, okay? But I will say I have a private Instagram and I have a public Instagram just for like podcast listeners. Mm. So I don't feel like I have to like give too much, because that's the problem, is like I've had my Instagram since I was like a sophomore in college. So like 12 years ago, I started my Instagram, and I'm like, there's so much shit in there that is not for like public consumption. It's strictly for my friends and family, that like the idea of making this Instagram I've had for 12 years public is, I could never. So I literally, after years of people being like, can I follow you? And me being like, burn in hell, that I just started a public Instagram. And now it's actually so nice because it's such a, I get to feed what I want to the podcast listeners. And it doesn't have to be like me worried of them like scrolling too far, you know, and like seeing things I don't want anyone to see. I guess I could archive posts, but who the fuck has the time to do that? What am I, Lisa Rinna? Get the fuck out of here.
I genuinely just made the time like a couple months ago to archive a bunch of my posts because I just like was scrolling through just like with so much embarrassment. Not even, I mean, I'm just embarrassed about a lot of things I've done and like said, and I feel like you're constantly evolving. And so I just went through and like dedicated like an hour or two just to like archiving all these cringe posts that I that I posted. So
I won't do it.
I don't know.
That's why there's a public Instagram. Follow me on my public Instagram. It's Selling Hostney. It's where I will be selling myself to you. And I want free stuff.
Yeah. And wait, can you repeat your handle?
My handle?
Yes, please.
It's jbrunson.us.
Okay, everyone, go quickly and go look at it right now. Go, oh my God. Be like, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. What is the secret?
Who is he?
But no, seriously, thank you so much for being on the show.
You were such
a wonderful delight. I'm going to wrap us out of here. This is Ethnically Ambiguous, Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I am Shireen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Hosnier on Twitter and at Selling Hosnier on Instagram. People, follow me there. Stop requesting me on Anna Hosnier at Anna Hosnier on Instagram. I will not let a single soul follow me on there. I barely let my dad follow me on there, okay?
Oh my God. Wait, you also have a Substack?
Oh, I have my Substack, sellinghostnia.substack.com, where I will be writing soon about how I find, it probably is out by the time you guys hear this, but I just think John Bernthal's a cop. I can't help it. That guy's a fucking cop, dude. ACAB refers to John Bernthal. I will get into it. You have to listen to his podcast. It's trash. That guy only has cops on his podcast and goes like, oh, what do you think of this sort of like defunding the police thing? And I'm like, why are you giving these people platforms? Also, he's the only person that interviewed Shia LaBeouf. Weird, right? After the abuse claims, why would you do that? Anyway, you got to hear both sides, which usually means you're a cop. You're a fucking cop, John Bernthal. We're on to you. Nobody plays cops that well. Nobody plays cops that well.
I mean, I don't know.
Go ahead, apologize for him, and I'll rip your shreds in my goddamn Substack.
Never gonna apologize for any white man.
Just joking. I would never. But I don't trust his ass.
Well, you gotta look up Anna Substack.
Go look up my Substack, because I'm gonna rip that man to shreds. Though I will say, not mad at him in that American Gigolo TV show he did. Okay.
Hey, I was going to say, yeah. No, actually, I won't say.
Look, I can thirst over a guy I also find is kind of a cop. I have my issues, whatever.
Let's end the show.
I'm a dynamic person. All right, that's
it. We're all layered, just like Jay. Okay.
That's it. Goodbye.
Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.